one in Christ. And I especially want us to think about marriage this morning. We heard the last message of our revival meeting was on unity, on oneness. And I really believe there is so much in that. I have just been feasting on and meditating on that idea and that thought ever since last weekend. And so this morning, this will just touch a little part, and I don't know how many segments there might be on different areas of oneness, not only with marriage, but in the church. And so these may not, however the Lord leads, but not necessarily in order of importance, but I do believe, folks, oneness is a great benefit to people. It's huge. And so I would like for the Lord to just open our hearts this morning. And Lord, teach us your ways and show us your paths. He read, Brother Aaron last week, Brother Brown read John the 17th chapter. And I want to read some of those same scriptures to start with, and we'll read a number of scriptures he read. But I want us to think about how they apply and how this happens. Can it be that two people can be in unity, real unity, that are different, that have different ideas? Sometimes they're raised in different families. The Lord prayed for a tall call when he prayed for that, didn't he? I want to read in John 17, starting in 11. Well, I just want to read three verses there. The 11th verse says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Before we comment on that, verse 21 says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Do you know it takes great power from God to cause people to be able to live together in peace? If you don't think that, just look across the world. Look across the world at every element of societies everywhere. I will tell you, it takes God to bring real peace. And so when Jesus was praying here, he knew what he was praying for. And he prayed that his followers might be one. And he said that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Do you know that the only way that we are going to have real unity, I just want to start with this, the only way for things to really work like it's supposed to is to have it in God. We can work to try to work things out. And sometimes people can get some places. But I will tell you, the Lord prayed for something deeper and better. And that was that unity might be in the Lord and through God. And he said, in us. You know, that they may be one in us. You know, there's something that God wants to give to us that gives us the joys of what unity comes to bring. Now, I think he mentioned this scripture, but in Psalms 133, we see a little of that glory, that grace, that goodness that Jesus, I believe, was speaking of when he said, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." Do you know that there's a lot of elements that make up light. There's a lot of elements that make up oneness too. And David said back here, and I love this psalm. I've read it so many times. I can't tell you how many times I've read it. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Do you know that unity is something, and oneness is something that is good and it's pleasant? You know it's really pleasant when people can be at one with one another? Do you know that there is great power in unity? And Jesus told us that where two or more are gathered together, he said, I'll be in their midst. And he said, if any two of you agree on anything, I'll do it for you. You know, there is great power in unity. But there's not only great power in unity, there is great pleasure in unity, in oneness. And so this morning, I would like for all of us to just step back for a second and say, Lord, will you teach me something new this morning? I don't know that I have anything new to teach you, but maybe the Lord does. Maybe he can take what comes out of here, my mouth, and translate it into what we all need this morning. You know, David said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in oneness, in unity. Because that word is almost interchangeable. And it goes on to say, it is like the precious ointment. Now, I don't know totally, you know, we can make conjecture about what he meant exactly here. But he said, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon. I can really relate to this. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's something really wonderful about the quiet falling of dew, isn't there? It's. I think we all just kind of know what we mean. I don't know how to explain it. It's wonderful. But David said, see, he was a shepherd. He knew what it was like to be out there night after night. And he said, this unity is between brethren is, it's like the dew that falls on those mountains. That he understood something, didn't he? Lord, help us to understand this morning something about, because I'm going to talk somewhat about marriage this morning. And I hope that in our hearts, the Lord can help us to go places and see places to go that maybe we haven't before. Brother Aaron also mentioned Amos, where he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? For they know not to do right, saith the Lord. This is Amos 3 and 3 and verse 10. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. You know, Amos saw something. There has to be something more than just two walking together. He said, how can it happen unless they're agreed? And then later, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, I believe, says, they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Do you know that that there was a problem, wasn't there? There was a problem with them walking with the Lord. They weren't able to walk with the Lord because they weren't agreed. They were walking in robbery. They were walking in sin and wickedness that God had told them not to walk in. There was a problem. We can't walk together. We're not agreed. You know, this morning, I'll read on here. The commentary said, they know not to do right. There are none so blind as those who will not see. So, you know, there was a blindness there and an inability to see their way And all because they had some bad things on board that needed unloaded first. Do you know that I believe the Lord has a place for us in our homes, in our heart? Because, see, I really believe that what we are at home is kind of mostly what we're going to be at church and in our work circles and all of that. By and by, that's who we are. We are who we are, right? So if we are at home, we're going to find troubles other places too. And so when we look at this idea that seems so unattainable by so many, because I know from speaking with people from different sessions and all kinds of things, this is a big deal. Oneness is not always easily attainable. But I believe that through the Lord, it can be. And it can be very pleasant and very powerful. And so, as we begin to look at some of these things, there has to be a certain agreement to have oneness and unity, and to have the kind that's powerful. I want to look over in 1 Peter 3 and 4, and I just pray God to make this real and alive to your heart and mine too. Peter says here, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart," talking to wives, "in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Do you know this morning, there's something God wants us to wear. And he said, this ornament is worth a lot to the Lord. A meek and a quiet spirit. And he gave that to the wives. Now he didn't say the men shouldn't be that way too. But he was speaking here to two sides of something. And Peter says, it's in the sight of God of great price. And then we drop on down to verse 7, and it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Do you know that the Lord wants us to understand some things? For people to walk together in peace and happiness, there has to be some understandings, doesn't there? There has to be some understanding of life, of marriage. And we want to, hopefully the Lord will let us, give us some more and enlarge to the church as well. But this morning I'm thinking about our homes, where it starts, in ourself, in our marriages. And he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Do you know that part of that knowledge is, and I heard another minister say this one time, the wife is in a weaker position in the marriage because God made it that way. Did you know that? He set her in a place of him as the leader of the home, right? In a place of subjection. That's not easy. Try to trade places. Many times I've thought about marriage situations and I thought, you know what? They need to trade places for about a month. Or a week. Just a week. Just trade places. Just okay, we're going to trade roles here for a week. Just so that we can understand each other. I think that'd be a good idea. I really do. And now my wife's sitting over here too, okay? This morning, he says, dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge. You know, there's some things we need to understand. Things about how someone else feels. And you know, in my mind, when I got married, I had a lot of things I understood, and it was right. At least I thought it was. And I found out not all those things were right. And I found out a lot of things I thought, this is the way you do it. It wasn't the way you did it. And it really wasn't. It wasn't that I just decided I needed. It really wasn't all right. And you're probably the same way, most of us. Not all of us. This morning, he says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And he says, women are not necessarily weaker than men. They're in a weaker place in the relationship because God made it that way. But God made his way perfect, didn't he? And he made it so that it works really well. But it don't work well if one's a lord and another's a servant. You know, there's an equality there, as well as a place in the relationship of leadership and submission and all those things. There's also a place where the man that has knowledge wants to be at one. They want the other one to understand. They want to work together. Is that right? We want to work together. Isn't that true? All this morning, I'm not asking you to say yes. I just want to say this morning, folks, there is a place that the Lord wants to take us to where we can truly be at one with one another. It is highly enjoyable and it is very powerful. But listen to the end of the scripture. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I believe many times prayers have been hindered. The prayers that we are praying can be hindered by the way we are acting. The prayers we are praying for our children can be totally the legs cut out from under those prayers because we don't learn how to get along. Can this happen? It happens often, doesn't it? And so this morning, I just want to encourage us today that this idea that Brother Aaron began with us, the Lord, I believe, inspired that message, of oneness should continue. And we want to learn and grow from that and learn, Lord, what does it take then? Well, the first thing I want to encourage us in is that oneness really is in the Lord. Both of us get with the Lord, and then He'll help us start working the other things out. And I say, start working the other things out. Because just because we're at one with the Lord don't mean everything is worked out. You were brought from one kind of background, and I was brought from another. And folks, personality differences, the way we think, all of those things have to start being worked out, don't they? It is the oneness with Christ. And I want to touch on some things that begins to work with. There's the elements that are contained in that, such as forgiveness. You know you can't have oneness without forgiveness. Did you know you really can't love someone else like you should if you haven't totally forgiven them? I want to read some scriptures in a few minutes on that. But I want to tell you there are some things that we, each one, have to look at in ourselves that make this possible. And can we alone do that? I don't think so. This is a two-way street. If we want oneness together, we're both going to have to work at it, aren't we? It's not an easy thing. It's just not. But if we have the right spirit, it can be done. And that's why the Lord said that all men, that men would know, that they would believe that He sent Him, because they would see that amazing work that makes people able to work together, have differences, forgive one another, and grow, and all of that, have unity in the midst of that. That's a tall, tall call, isn't it? I want to present it to us today because we start at home, and that's where we win these battles. And I want to encourage us. Let's decide and dig our feet in and say, I will, by the grace of God, we will learn, we will live, we will humble ourselves, we will let God work as He wants to work. And I believe doors that are powerful will be opened up to us when we do that. And I believe pleasures that are remarkable will also be opened up when we do that. We just read in Peter, and he says, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I want to ask you a question. Could they be one if there was a contrary and angry spirit? I'm going to ask you that again. Could the two be one in marriage if there was a contrary and angry spirit involved? That is impossible, isn't it? We have to work at this thing. Folks, if we find within ourselves things that are out of line with what God wants, then we need to humble ourselves to the Lord, seeking grace. Lord, give me the kind of grace that makes me able to forgive fully. Help me to have victory over this thing that keeps walloping me. We need that, don't we? I want to encourage us. Dig and find the things God has for us in our homes, in our life, and in our marriage. And I'll tell you what, we learn these things well at home. They'll work pretty good here too. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they be one if there's a contrary and angry spirit? God has the answer for that, doesn't He? And I want to mention something else. When selfishness enters the relationship, what is selfishness anyway? The word starts with self, doesn't it? That's probably all we need to say. When selfishness enters the relationship, oneness and unity are doomed as far as the selfishness goes. Did you know that? That's far as we're going to take it. That's far as it's going to work right. When selfishness enters in, it dooms the relationship. So we want to watch for these things. We want to let God deal with us. The Lord puts us, I believe He wants to use all of our lives. He has hope. He has great dreams for this group of people. But do you know, there's things that we have to learn, isn't there? And He puts us in one of the most difficult situations you can. He puts two people right here, really close together. And generally, they're opposites. Is that right? Well, most of the time they are. Well, you know what? He says, work through it. When I get done with you, you're going to be a good worker for me. That's what the Lord wants to do. And so this morning, when selfishness enters, let's think about that. Selfishness. If our prayers have been hindered, there's a way to return. And it involves two. When selfishness has entered a marriage, I will tell you a little of what it takes. And I want to tell you, I have to work on this all the time too. I want the Lord to be perfected in my life as well. And I see my faults and I'm like, Lord, I need You to help me here. And I hope all of us just look at ourselves that way and look at the Lord. I know You have the answers for me, and I know that You can help me to be better in that area. You know, in whatever area that is. Humility and forgiveness are two of the great engines that can make this possible. Without it, we stand up for ourselves, don't we? When we stand up for ourselves, many times there's an element of just simple pride involved. I'm not bowing. Or this is the way it's going to be done. Because that's the way I want it done. Do you know, there has to be more than that, doesn't there? And so, humility causes us to be willing to humble down to God. Now we say, well, I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in to this situation, whether it's a church or wherever. Folks, we need to humble to God. And when we humble to God, we're going to be humble to each other. And do you know that when we begin to walk that road, we're willing to forgive then? And I'll tell you something else. We start dealing with things real, don't we? You forgive somebody, you need to forgive somebody. You need to forgive your spouse. They need to forgive you. A big dose of humility. And then we have to get a hold of God. Lord, help me to truly forgive like You forgive. And when you read the scriptures about how He forgives, says, He casts it as far as the east is from the west. And then it is no more. And you see, that's what people don't do. When you find problems between two people, you will almost always, if not always, find an element of self somewhere. You will find selfishness somewhere. Now, I'm talking about folks, I'm not preaching down on us. If we want to enjoy the good things God has to enjoy, let's work hard at this. Let's let God perfect in us His ways. You know, Samuel told the house of Israel one time, he said, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Do you know there's a lot of ones? And we heard some of that last week. There's a lot of ones. Do you know there's only one God? You know, if we try to serve a multiplicity of gods, we're going to be confused from day one. And God's not going to bless us. Do you know that if we try to love our wife and there's others involved, you're doomed? We need to put away every affection before the one that we vowed our lives to and stand with that. I know that sounds pretty basic, but folks, these things are real. Look around us, all around us. They're very real. The Lord help us today to put away from us every strange thing to the relationship. Put it away. Those things, now I know people are sometimes jealous. I'm not talking about jealousy. There's a place for rightful jealousy. The woman should be only one. And that's it. And if there's more than one, there's affections for more than one, then there's a place that somebody needs to go to God and get something cleansed out of the heart. We'll never even meet God with that. We'll never meet Him right with that. And so this morning, we have to put away some things for there to be oneness. We have to put away some things that maybe we want to do that's strange to the relationship. It takes all of our time away from the one that feels like she ought to have some time too. Do you know that's real? Yes. Happens every day. My dad knew a man and he told us this story several times. And this man worked, 80, 90 hours a week or so. He worked all the time. And his wife didn't like it. Well, I don't have to tell you what you already know. That marriage didn't last. Do you know that after a while she left him? Because he had too many things in the relationship besides what he should have had, which was a love to make her feel loved and pleased and accepted and honored and all of those things. Do you know that those things of honoring one another, sometimes we don't know how to do that. The Lord wants to teach us how to do that. We don't even know how to honor one another. We the way we were raised, what we saw in our home, I'm just saying this in general, what we might have seen in our home, we don't even understand what it means to honor one another. And yet the Lord says giving honor unto the wife. And she tells the wife to, how is it respect her husband to give honor to him? Do you know this morning, there is a beautiful way, and it includes us, and it requires us to humble ourselves. Amen. And it requires us to look at our situation and say, this isn't one. What can we do about it? And we have to come together and begin to pray, Lord, this isn't one. Not the kind of one you talked about. So I'll tell you the rest, you aren't enjoying the one like that either, if that's the case. So this morning, the Lord has a lot of good for us. And I want to encourage us to do the things that makes us at one. Humility and forgiveness, I say if we get there, we'll probably get the other places. If we get there. That makes love possible. And without it, it's not possible. Not possible to hate someone. Not possible to hold hard feelings on someone and love them like we're supposed to. That's not going to happen. Those things come through the Lord. One in Christ. It comes from the Lord working with us. It comes from Him making our heart in a way that it couldn't be any other way. We couldn't try hard enough. But when God begins to change the inside, folks, things happen that's really, really good. And so we have to understand. We have to start learning. We have to apply. Lord, I want to apply to You to understand. Why is it that I've never been able to get along with anyone? Why is it that I can't get along with anybody in the church? Well, you probably can't get along with your wife well either, or your husband, if that's the case. You know, let's go home and let's look inside. Lord, help me to learn to be at one with You, with Your thoughts, with Your humility, with Your forgiveness, with Your love, with all of those things, and help me to line up with You. And then it's going to start filtering out, isn't it? I'm not throwing things, folks. I know that this is not always easy. I want to read a scripture that is often, I believe, completely misinterpreted. And that is in Philippians 2 and 12. And it says here, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." How many times do people interpret this to mean, well, I'll work mine out, you work yours out. I'll come to my conclusions, you come to yours. You know, we live in a world, and we don't accept this, do we? We live in a world that believes that whatever you think is your truth. Is that true? That's what the world says, isn't it? Whatever you think is your truth. That's one of the big lies the devil has ever concocted. What bigger lie could you have than that? What you think is truth, and maybe it's not. They can't even figure out, folks, when somebody was born. Thank goodness we have a governor that signed into law that you have to put on the birth certificate what gender they were. Folks, we need to know what truth is and understand it. And if we don't understand it, then maybe we have some things we need to work out. So do we take this scripture to mean, okay, I'll work out mine. I'll just work it out. I have my thing with God, you have yours. Folks, we'll never get to heaven that way. We're only going to get to heaven the way of the Bible. Now I want to tell you something else. You'll never get to where we need to be with one another except going God's way. And so we have some things to work out with fear and trembling. Lord, I've got to work some things out. There's some things that I need to deal with on a very basic level. Because my tongue, oh, I just need some help, Lord. Or there's a lot of other things too, isn't there? Selfishness. That's what we're talking about. And so I want to encourage us to work those things out with the Lord. Work out the things that are right. Find out what is true and what is right. Let God help unravel our mind and give us His mind. And if we just discount what everybody else that knows the Lord says, we're liable to veer a long ways from truth. Is that true? We're liable to get a long ways from truth if we do that. We have some understanding to get. I believe the Lord has it for us. There are some things that war against oneness. And I want to read to you some very real things. One thing that amazes me about the scriptures is that it tells things just like it really happened. It's not told in some glossed over way. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, Paul says here, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." How can that happen? There's what? How many thousand religions or so, or whatever there is in the world, different kinds of ideas of God? Lots of them, isn't there? Hundreds, whatever there is. And Paul says, "I beseech you that you speak the same thing. Work it out. Work your salvation out. Get a hold of God. Study. Ask the Lord for help." I want to tell you, all of us have to do this, don't we? We never stop having to do this. "That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Wow. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" You know, there was an element here of carnality working, wasn't there? God has He has the answer for that too, doesn't He? Because folks, as long, in these people's mind, it made every sense in the world. It made all the sense. "I'm of Paul. You know, Paul was the one I first heard the gospel through." And you know, they had this thing going. And we're sitting here thinking, well, that was foolish. Well, you know, I wonder if Paul wrote to us exactly what he would say. I hope we would be commended. But you know, he wrote exactly what was going on. "I've heard that there's divisions among you, and that there are contentions among you." Do you know this morning the Lord wants to take care of that? And so Paul began to work with it. He did not throw these people out. He started working with them. He started reasoning with them. I'm certain Paul knew there was probably some deeper things that needed to be worked out in the heart. But you know, he led them gently to the Lord, didn't he? Folks, we can't throw each other out because somebody has some of these tendencies. We have to help them through it. Help them realize where they're at. Help them realize the truth of the matter. Point them to the Lord, the one that we have our unity in, the one that changes that spirit, that changes that thought process. The Lord wants to do that, doesn't He? And I want to keep us in mind that, folks, our marriage, these things, can we relate? Sure we can. These things can crop up in every relationship we have. And the Lord wants us to be able to be on one page. "Lord, show me myself." You ever prayed that way? I have. Sometimes I'm like, "Lord, I see it this way, but you show me myself." And sometimes He showed me, and I was wrong. I was just simply wrong. Have you ever been there? The Lord needs to show us sometimes, doesn't He? Because He has such good things to share with us. And so, none of us are born full of wisdom. You read Proverbs, the first chapter, the fifth verse tells us that that the wise man hears, will hear and increase knowledge. That's what's wisdom, to hear, to listen, to pray, to understand, to let God change our minds, to speak with one another, to be open with one another. That's how God works us. See, there's a process that the Lord wants to work us through that brings us into the place that He wants us to be. I know we're running out of time here, so I'm going to maybe start quoting a few. But Matthew 20 and 20, or reading a few here off my paper that I printed my scriptures on. "Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him. And He said unto her, What wilt thou? Now here was the mother of Zebedee's children. Lord, I have a petition of you. I have something I want you to do. And he said, she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Well, how was that? I want my two sons to be your chief men. I want them to be in the head places. One on the right hand, one on the left. Now, let me ask you something. Was that selfish? I think that was selfish. I think it was selfish. Do you know that so many problems come from that? And see, the other disciples didn't think that was too great. And if you drop on down to verse 24, he says, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. It made them upset, didn't it? And they were moved with indignation. Do you know that's what selfishness brings into a relationship? We have to beware of this monster. And we need to listen. I'm certain the Lord knew real well what was going on here. But you know, the Lord wants to speak to us. And we have to hear, and we have to be humble enough to say, yeah, that was selfish. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked for that. That was just me wanting my way. And you know what? It made the others upset. Do you think that they had perfect unity right there? I don't think so. I think they needed some help. And I know that the Holy Ghost filled these men and changed them. But I want to tell you, there was still some element of this human being that had to be dealt with. And I'll read you some next week, maybe. It takes a real sanctifying of the mind and of the desires. The Lord wants us to sanctify our desires to do His will. And then He wants to provide that sanctifying power from the Holy Spirit with us that wants to make us able to overcome in a way that could not be done any other way. It comes through the power of the Lord. But folks, we have to be honest. We have to look at things squarely and say, that's where I'm at. And I'm going to fix that by the grace of God. And we depend on the Lord to do that, don't we? For us to deny that we ever have been a little selfish is denying humanity, I think. Folks, we have to grow and we have to realize selfish, we didn't even know it. This woman probably never really thought about it. She just wanted the best for her too. Well, there was some flesh involved and some selfishness. You know, David dealt with a man one time, and he sent some men to him. And this man's name was Nabal. And the young man, they were hungry, and the young man went to Nabal, the young men, and they asked him, can you help David with some food? We've been watching over your stuff. We've been making sure nothing has disappeared. We've watched over everything for you. Now, we're hungry. And this man, Nabal, just led into him. Who is David? And, you know, there's a lot of servants escaped these days from their masters and going their ways and all. And he led into him. What do you think the end result of that was? David slapped on his sword and he said, if there's one man, I'm paraphrasing, that's alive when I get done. And he went with men and they were headed over there. But Nabal's wife heard about it. She had some wisdom, didn't she? Sometimes our spouse has wisdom we need. And she probably wanted to tell Nabal some things. But I want to tell you what a servant... Well, here's what Abigail said when she went to David. She said, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. No, this was the servant that came to Abigail. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Do you know what one of the traits of this guy was? He couldn't be spoken to because he had such a foul mouth and such anger. The moment he was spoken to, he responded just volcanoes coming out. Do you know, folks, it almost cost him his life with David. And 10 days later, it did cost him his life because God took him. But you know, Abigail, it says she got in a hurry. She made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she went over to try to take care of the mess her husband had made. I'm not down on men this morning. Folks, it goes both ways just the same. I guarantee you. It goes both ways just the same. I'm a man, so I speak to men more. You know, no one could speak to this guy. I want to encourage us today that we be easy to speak to. We can work a lot of things out if we'll just be easy to speak to. Let's don't be so hard, crusty-hearted until people speak to us and they have to fear what is going to come now. You know, there's no way for unity like that. And so what I'm reading to you is right out of the Scriptures. Folks, these are ways, this contentions that was caused in Corinth, the things that happened in different places, those things cause problems, don't they? This man not being able to be spoken to almost cost him his life and every male on his whole team his life because of the way he spoke. There's a lot of marriages that have broken up because somebody did not stop and say, okay, we have a problem. We have a big problem. But I know that God can fix it. And I'm willing to humble myself. Let's talk. You see how different that is than railing and hollering and yelling, maybe cursing and swearing. Things get going in homes, folks, that are destructive. And I want to tell you something. When that happens, it makes somebody else really upset. And David just about made one of the biggest mistakes of his life. He was so upset. He was going to go kill a bunch of men because they didn't give him food. That would have been a great wrong, wouldn't it? You know, this morning, it's real important for us. We can have a lot to do with our spouse this morning. And in learning those lessons, we can have such a change in our attitude with one another. And we can actually become a servant of the Lord. We can actually become someone that can work along with other people and work right in the harness with them. And great things can be done through that kind of life this morning. I'm going to read a little more. James 3 and 17. There is a way that is so very different than the way of self and selfishness and the flesh. But the wisdom, verse 17, James 3, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. That pure means unmixed. That's what pure means. It's not mixed with your anger and your resentments and your unforgiveness and your desire to retaliate and all those things. You're not going to have any kind of wisdom going in that way. But it says it's first pure and then it's peaceable. And then it's easy, gentle, and easy to be entreated. You know, this is a real challenge for all of us, isn't it? Because when feelings start, the temperature starts rising, folks, we need the grace of God to help us, don't we? And so it says, and easy to be entreated. You know what that means? It means easy to talk to, easy to visit with, easy to tell your grievance to. Not talking about fishing and things we want to do. It's talking about things that need to be talked about, easy to be approached. And so this is very critical, isn't it, for our life and for our homes, and that our prayers go through that children don't feel resentful and bitter about the home they grew up in. I know children like that. Good parents. But I want to tell you, they had some faults they never overcame. And it can create bitterness in children. It can create grievances in them where they won't want to follow in our footsteps. And I don't claim to have been perfect in all of this, but I want to tell you something. We have tried to humble ourselves. Lord, teach me and help me your ways. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. None of the flesh. That's the wisdom from above. And so when we begin to deal with one another, let's deal with one another on that level, with not having the flesh involved. And then when we go to deal with one another in this level or on our jobs, we'll know a whole different way of dealing with things, won't we? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Ephesians 4 and 31 says, let all bitterness, every bit of it, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody humbled down and you saw the walls come down and things started being worked out? That's not always easy, is it? I want to encourage us to be that kind of example that the world might believe that God sent Jesus Christ. Because, folks, other religions, other things, it's tit for tat. It's you did this, I'm doing that. A lot of homes, it's that way too. That should never once be named among us. But the Lord help us that we can love one another and be kind one to another and tenderhearted and forgiving one another. That takes grace from God. But isn't that what we claim to be? God's people. So when we find ourselves in need of more of this, let's go to God and tell Him, Lord, I need more of this. I need to truly have more of a forgiveness for this. I don't want there to be anything there. Because if we have the bitterness and the wrath and the anger, we can't love one another. Only God can take those things out of our heart sometimes. It takes an act of God. But isn't that what we believe in this morning? And then again in Colossians 3 and 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Put those good things on. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's a lot of people that have so much of this world's stardom and all those things that would give a lot if they could just have peace in their life. Folks, we have it all. We have all those things. We can have peace. We can have the good things of God. We can have good relationships. We can have the grace of God backing our life up and giving us grace. We can have a home in heaven. I don't know what more we could want than that. That's enough. And it's what everyone else is trying to get in all that they're trying to attain to. Oh, this morning, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. I want to tell you, the Lord's called us to a high calling, to one body. That's His words, not mine. He's called us to one, to be one in our home. And I challenge us this morning. I beg us, make it right there first. Be surprised how that'll affect everything else. You all pray for me that I can live this myself in a way that's exemplary. I want to be that way. I know the Lord helps us, but I can see places that I want to improve. You pray for us.